Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Todd Washington, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
Good old Todd Washington. Speaking of which, I don't know if you heard the news about Steve White.
I did.
I saw it this morning. Devastating. What a good guy.
Good guy. Good teammate. Way too young. 48.
Yeah.
I'm going to be 47. I'm thinking, like, you know, when you're young, you look at 40s, you're like, oh, man, that's old. And now we're here. We're like, man, it goes by quick. But that was the locker room that we had. That was by far the best locker room I ever played in, because it was good guys. Like I said, you know, Dungy brought in guys that were great guys off the field that could play on the field. But the biggest thing was that, and Steve was an awesome guy, man. Sad news. When I heard that this morning, it was devastating.
And then, you know, the next year in 2002, John brought even, not better, but brought in those types of guys as well. You know, he brought in Pittman and Keenan and that locker room. And I talk about it often, and I don't know if it's because of cell phones or social media, or it's just different now. I mean, you're in the locker room now that you're a media and a commentator.
I think this thing, man, the phone. Yeah. I think the phone, because we used to talk to each other. You see a picture of any sport, not just football, of the locker room after a game. Everybody's tweeting their score, tweeting their plays, or what they did. Where before, we're all celebrating together or sad together, but we were together and talking and communicating. I think that's what's lost right now in the locker room. And also, you know, just the way society is now, you know, it's more maybe sensitive, where the jokes in the locker room, nobody took it personal. And you could joke about anything. You can joke about anything. Yeah. And trust me, being a kicker, man, we were like the end. But most jokes.
Sure.
And we never. If you took it personal, then they piled on more.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you got to make sure you had a thick skin. So I think a combination of those things. But I still think being on a team and being in a locker room, it's an experience that you can never duplicate. Like after I retired, I never duplicated that excitement, that team bonding, anywhere, any business, any job. Just that those 53 guys for one common goal to win a championship. I've never experienced anything like that.
I've been in the locker room, you know, how many, 30 years, 35 years. And that span, you're right. I mean, all of the guys were cool, down to earth, you know, could joke, but didn't go over the line. You know what I'm saying? It was cool. Caleb and I talk about it all the time, about trash talking and going over the line. And is there a line? I'm curious what your opinion is.
When we played, I don't know if there was a line. I think the only time I saw it get cross the line is when we went to Philadelphia and they talked about Joe Jerevich's son that had passed away. That's going over the line.
That's when Nate Webster and Dwight Smith were going in the stands. You do know that, right?
Yes.
They were going in the stands.
Right. I heard about that.
And those two guys would do it.
No, for sure. For sure. But that's going over the line when you have that, because we're playing a game. It's a sport. And I understand as a fan you want to take the other team out of the game. But that's the only time I really seen it go over the line. You know, they could talk about your mom, your family, but it's talk. You know, we know as players that you've got to do whatever it takes to get me off my game, mm-hmm. and I'm going to say and do whatever I can to get you off your game. But once the game's over, we can shake hands and be fine. But the players that take it, and I don't think a lot of athletes do take it.
No, they don't.
Because they realize what it is.
Yeah.
The fans don't understand that. Or like when I coach youth soccer. The thing with me, like what happened was I went from playing in the NFL to coaching right away. And I think that was probably not good because I was bringing that same intensity to coaching 8-year-old kids. 8-year-old kids. So these people thought I was crazy, but I was like, I don't know any better.
Right.
So I've learned through the years. I mean, I've been doing it 15 years now. So I've learned that it's not as important as an NFL game, you know, eight-year-old soccer. But they don't know how to separate it. So if I said something to another coach, they'd hate me for the rest of their life. Where they could say whatever. I'm going to say, if you say something to me, my wife's like, she's been trying for 15 years to quiet me down. She's like, look, don't respond.
Yeah.
Just it'll make them more mad. But it's just that natural instinct to respond. But I've learned to not respond now. But if you say anything to me during the game, I'm never going to take it personal. When the game's over, we can go have a drink, go eat, whatever. We're fine. But some of these coaches don't, because they never played at a high level, so they think it's everything. Every attack is personal.
So speaking of like the mentality, have you seen the movie Kicking and Screaming?
No.
With Will Ferrell and Mike Ditka is like the head coach of a youth soccer, and like they are so over the top.
Yeah, that was kind of me a few years ago. Yeah, yeah. I'm embarrassed to say that.
Have you ever made a mega person? Have you ever made like the mega person, like two kids on top of each other?
No. I didn't do that yet. No.
But there's
yet.
Really nothing wrong with that. My dad was like that. Now, granted, this was back in the day and whatever, right. But you know, sometimes we were scared to go home after a game if we made an error.
Right.
You know. Intense. It is intense, but I learned to live with it, and it is what it is.
Two off seasons ago, I coached offensive line at Sierra Canyon in Los Angeles.
He's so mellow, Ken.
I know. Talk up.
Sorry. So two off seasons ago, I coached
like a coach offensive anymore.
Line at Sierra Canyon, and that was my thing. I brought that intensity, like, you know, like, let's go. Like, you know, it was like the
– Right.
I
you don't know any
my,
better.
My coach, and then, you know, I have to realize some kids responded to that. Other kids will kind of go into a hole. So I have to kind of learn, like, okay, I can't talk to him like this because he doesn't respond well to that. I have to put my arm around him, tell him I trust him, whatever it is. And so I have to kind of understand and grow because my coach in college, I don't know if you know who this is, Adrian Clem.
No.
Okay, he played for the Patriots for a while. He started coaching fresh out of college.
Right.
And that's how he was. But I take that kind of coaching well, you know. But just like as you mature, and because like, I want to get into coaching, it's just kind of understanding, hey, like, you can't. Everybody doesn't respond to this. Like,
right.
You have to find the what button to push in the right people. And so, yeah, it's a switch up for sure.
The one thing that's worked for me is I create a relationship with my player where they know anything I do is to push them to be better.
It's not personal.
Because a lot of times these coaches start screaming right off the bat or, you know, yelling. And you're like, and the kids look at you or the players look at you like, man, this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
But now if you create that relationship, basically like a father-son relationship, you know you're doing it for their own good. So you can push them. And you're right. There's some kids that you push hard and they'll be fine, and they'll get in that hole and quit. The job of the coach is to realize which player you can push harder. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I'm going to push all of them because it's not fair just because you're a little softy or not as that you get away with stuff.
Yep.
You know, at the end of the day, the one thing I learned from Coach Dungy, discipline and accountability. Mm-hmm. If you have discipline and accountability, then there's I was telling him, like, Messi, Ronaldo, we talked about earlier, those guys make mistakes.
Yeah.
And they're the best in the world. So I can't expect my kids that are, you know, 7, 8, or now U19, to not make mistakes.
Yeah.
But if you're making them going hard and if you give me 110%, I'll never be mad.
Yeah.
And we can lose a game, and I won't be mad. But now if we're lazy and don't work hard, then that's going to make me more upset than losing the game. Yeah. You know, so.
But does that, whether you're coaching or when you're going to sign a player, do you look at that kind of stuff? Like you don't want to sign a player that may not be able to handle criticism or follow directions or something?
At this level especially. I mean, you're going to have the media.
Yeah.
Now, if you can't handle the media,
it's bad news.
Right. So you're going to have a microphone or somebody talking to you after every game. So you have to be able to handle that. In the youth, you try to – I don't really look at that. Depending on the level that I'm coaching. When they're 8 or 9, then you don't look at that, and then you try to guide the kid to either be tougher or understand sports. If you want to stay in sports, you've got to have thick skin. And now if it's at a lower level, then you take any kid, you know, as long as they can play. Now at the higher level, I look at that because, you know, I don't want to have a player that I can't coach. That's not coachable because he's, you know, doesn't respond well to my type of coaching. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, the parents like that. They call it old school, which I hate that word, old school. It should be the way coaching is, not old school.
That's the right way to do it.
You've got to push kids to be the best and work. The thing is, if I'm pushing you to work hard, what's wrong with that?
Right.
If you're playing a sport, you've got to work hard. The thing is, these kids now are a little lazier. Mm-hmm. And a little bit more entitled, and that bothers me when the kid feels entitled. And I've had some kids that, you know, because their mom's a team manager or the mom's part of the club, that they think they're automatically on the team. I had to tell a kid the other day, I said, look, if we had a game tomorrow, you're not starting. I don't care if your mom's a team manager, pays the bills, whatever. You know, so you better fix this or that.
Not many people will do that. Not many people say that. My brother once coached a major team. You know, above Little League, they were like 14, 15, 16. His star player's dad played for the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, he was the best player in the league, and my brother kicked him off the team. He goes, go play somewhere else. You come late, you feel you're entitled. We don't need that.
Right.
But not everybody can do that, you know, like you say that you're doing.
See, with my team, we've beaten teams that we had no business beating because these kids believed and they work hard. We are worked the better team because they thought they walked in already knowing they were better. And these kids just refuse to lose. And that's one of the mentalities. You learn that from your coaches. Like, yeah. Dungy, I mean, Dungy was, like, incredible. That Gruden was incredible. The making us believe. I always said Gruden's Saturday night speeches were worthless because we're ready to go play now. And I got to go to bed. You know, you have to go to bed, and he's pumping you up. You're ready to run through a wall. So a coach can get that out of players. And you can win games with less talent.
I almost think that they should put more of that in the corporate world, because I see a lot of people now, my friends who are in corporate America, and, you know, they talk about certain things like, oh, you know, this happened today, and, you know, this is, he's not showing balance, say that to me. I'm just like, you didn't do what you were supposed to do. Like, you didn't do your work, you know. Did you see that when you went into corporate America and, you know, doing, like, being in different meetings, people kind of not being able to take criticism, not being able to, like, hey, like, this is our standard, this is what we need to do. And if you don't accomplish it, it's a problem. Now everybody wants to be coddled and like, no, you can't say anything to me. And like, I have this fight with my girl sometimes. Like, he's hard on you because he sees something in you. He wants you to get better. Don't be mad at him. Like, just work, you know, and just get better.
So I feel every day working on this radio program.
I try to get you to feel better, but you're
always on me. Like, and I'm now elevated to where I am now.
He's making you better, right?
I don't know. He'll never get better. All right. So when we come back, I want to talk to you about your Buccaneer Broadcasting. You've got another side gig. I think you got like 9 or 10 things you're doing on the side.
A little bit.
We're going to talk about all that when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Song.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Yo, what's up, man? It's your boy, Juju Smith-Schuster, man. Shout out to Knockout Radio. Turn up.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, face demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for our 19th annual Tuxes and Tails. This Black Tie Gala will be hosted at the Tampa Convention Center on October 8th from 5:30 p.m. till midnight and will feature adoptable pets, a silent auction, a cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, an after party with cigars and dancing along the Riverwalk, and much more. Tickets and sponsorship are still available at www.tuxestailstampa.com. Come show your support for homeless animals in Tampa Bay while you dine and dance all night.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Bumper Pool from the University of Arkansas. We just won the Outback Bowl, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
Arguably, the greatest name in the history of the world. That was the liner you got from the Outback Bowl.
What did I get?
Bumper Pool.
Oh, Bumper Pool.
That's the dude's name. The Bumper guy's Pool? Name is Bumper Pool. Is that not the greatest name ever?
I've heard some. There's a guy called... the coldest to ever do at Johnson. The
Florida State. I almost
the coldest is Notre Dame to ever do it. Johnson.
That's a pretty good name. That's a great name.
There's some names. My kids have those names too. Like they make those names up.
Yeah.
Where like his first name is Jack, and then the rest of it is something else, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if we can say that on the radio. So but they get me all the time.
Think of it this way: if you can't say it during your Buccaneer broadcast, you can't say it now.
Well, listen, my Buccaneer broadcast is in Spanish.
Yeah.
The guy that owns the radio station does not speak Spanish.
Oh,
nice. So I'm gonna
get away with it.
I got away. Well, I'm a fan first, broadcaster second.
Yeah.
So there's been a couple times that I slipped up in my the play-by-play, like his eyes open because he's a professional, he's done it his whole life, and he looks at me like, you know what you just said, and I don't even know that I said it.
Yeah.
So then I get a text from my wife Santiago that they're listening. So when Mike Evans 2 years ago, when he sprained his knee, mm-hmm. going into the playoffs,
right,
I may have slipped up a bad word on accident, but it was just like,
yeah,
that was our
right.
season.
Sure,
you know, I'm like,
yeah, sure,
actually it was a Super Bowl year, then he came back and played. So yeah, so sometimes I've slipped up. So the good thing is
nobody
understands. The owner doesn't understand.
Right.
I think that was the hardest thing for me getting into the media was like, I can't cheer. You know, like I wanted to be at the UFC fight. Kate's, I'm like, yeah.
Like, and I'm elbowing him. I'm like, what do you do?
You have to be impartial. You have to be biased. You can't have favoritism. You can't show
right.
one or the other. So people ask me like, oh, what do you think of the game? I'm like, eh. I just documented it. I don't know. I didn't really have any emotion towards it.
How has it been? What's it like?
Okay. I've never heard that. No, it's been awesome. So when I met, this is almost the same story as Andrew. I didn't want to say no and then regret it. So with Bucks Radio, it was the same thing. We met, and I've been asked. So they've been talking about it for like 10 years. So TJ Reeves calls me pretty much, was calling me about it. Hey, we're thinking about doing Spanish radio. Would you be interested? Yes, TJ. Never heard back. And so he calls me 5 years now. This will be our fifth year. Hey, you interested in doing Spanish radio? Yes, TJ, but I'm not, probably won't hear anything. Within like 30 minutes, I get a call from the guy who owns the radio stations. We meet at the Hard Rock, and I said, look, I have my soccer schedule laid out, so I'm going to miss this, this, and that game. So my youth soccer was priority. Yeah. I said, I can't miss my kid's game. If you're okay with that, he's like, no, that's fine. At the time, we had there was three of us. And then after that, man, I fell in love with it. I was like, I don't want to miss. So I schedule everything around football now, or the Bucks games. And now the best part about it, Santiago's going to be our sideline reporter. Right. So he'll be, and I told him, just stand next to TJ and translate whatever he says, you'll be fine. Because TJ's like the Buccaneer Bible. I mean, he knows everything about the Bucks, all the history. So I said, yeah. So it's been fun. And to cover my team at Raymond James winning a Super Bowl after we won it, you know, in 2002, it's like, I mean, I couldn't ask for a better, awesome. Yeah.
I had this thing with, you probably don't know who Kenny Florian is, MMA fighter, and he would always give me a hard time because I don't like to pick fights. And it's because, you know, I know the fighters, you know, and you don't want to, well, you picked against me.
Oh, I didn't mean you being fights because you get beat up. I thought you were talking about that. Like, I don't like to pick fights.
I don't like to pick fights either. But then Kenny Florian became a media guy, and he's like, I now understand. Have you had any of those situations where, you know, it might be a negative thing and you know, you don't want to upset somebody?
Well, I work for the Bucks, so and I always said.
So you can still say something negative.
No, but I always said I'm always going to pick the Bucks to win because I could never not pick the Bucks. So anytime we do picks, I got to pick the Bucks. But as far as players, you have to, you know, the audience has to hear you speak the truth. So when there's a mistake, we got to bring it up, but it's never malicious.
Yep.
Sometimes when media people, I guess people, members, haven't played sports,
right,
they don't know how to maneuver it where it's not malicious.
Yep.
And I had trouble with some of the media that destroyed me towards the latter part of my career that never had the guts to go in the locker room and interview me.
Right. Mm-hmm. I've talked about that, just so you know.
You know?
Yeah,
we talk about it all the time.
You know,
I hated a particular magazine. The guy would, and it was Jorge Diaz. And he would, they
you
would
don't like
say,
Jorge?
No, I love Jorge.
No, I'm just kidding.
You know, Jorge and I are, yeah, I mean, we're extreme. I met Jorge because of Warren. But this particular magazine would rip him in the magazine and then sit down next to him like they're best friends.
Right.
And Jorge would never say anything because he's too nice a guy. I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Why are you talking to this person? So, yeah, I mean, I definitely get it.
I can understand them pointing out mistakes.
Mistakes is fine.
Right. But
not being ugly.
When it's malicious and ugly. And then you don't even know me. You don't even know what I'm going through. Because if we have a relationship and, you know, I don't know, having issues at home, or now you know, okay, this is why. And if you're friends with that media person, they're not going to say why, but they're not going to destroy you as much.
Yep.
But then somebody that doesn't even – but I was bothered more by the guys that didn't even have the guts to face you one-on-one, because you can say whatever you want, but then come ask me questions.
Yeah.
And then I'll answer the questions. But those guys were hiding, and then, man, they were just – they were the worst. They were just –
I agree.
So they didn't care. They would just destroy everybody.
I agree.
So along that mindset, along that like framework.
It should be. Okay.
No, it's going to be professional. I'm learning on the job. So but the mind state of a skilled position of a kicker, where the strategy is to ice the kicker, and you know, but you also have to put in like what's going on in their personal life at home and things in their life. So my question is, why don't the kickers get as much respect as they deserve? Because how many games come down to the final kick? I mean, it comes down to you. It's your position that usually wins or loses a game, especially in the playoffs where the scores are so tight.
Because we're not as big and tough as these guys, you know. So, no, I think I think it's changed a little bit now. Kickers back in the day, prior to Mark Royals, I won't bash our boy Mark Royals.
I will.
Those guys used to do their kick and go play golf.
No, that was Mark. No, that was Mark.
On the record, I don't golf. I hate golf. So I only do 2 or 3 golf tournaments a year, which is, you know, Mike Allstar, Brooks, and maybe a couple. That's it, charity. And it's usually somebody else's ball that we're playing off, because mine never. So, right. So they never integrated themselves in the team, you know, and our practice is so different. While the rest of our team is hitting and competing for 2-3 hours, we're on the side doing our and we have to. We can't kick for 3 hours, mm-hmm. So you have to figure out a way to like pass the time without
games.
Right, you invent games, but you try to figure out the time without leaving. You know, but a lot of times, prior to that older generation, they used to leave. Now, the kickers are usually kickers and punters were usually former soccer players. Mm-hmm. So you want to be around your teammates. You want to be there and hanging out. So for me, it was fun to hang out. The best part of the practice, because now I can start talking to guys and you can start making fun of guys or jokes, and it goes by so fast. But I think that's why, you know, they just, and it's a totally different position too. It's kind of, I would say, like the goalie in soccer.
You're like a specialist, you know. It's
right.
I'll talk from like our perspective, you know, looking in. It's definitely weird when you're in meetings for 10 hours and you come in, the kickers are talking about stocks and bonds and stuff like that.
I wasn't that smart, but yeah.
Yeah. You know, we see a lot of that. But what happens is we know how important kickers are because, you know, from my time in the Bucks, we lost a lot of games, close games, due to having kicker issues for random different reasons. You know, but like guys, what they see is, man, like, you have one job to do. As important as it is, it's like, you know, like we were doing this for all this time and you come in and it's like, man, we need this kick. But guys understand it's a hard thing to do. Guys know that, like, we could never do that. There's none of those other guys can kick a field goal to win a game, not even an extra point, you know? So I think guys know how important it is. It's just, like, the frustration of losing. But it's like anything else. If a quarterback throws a pick at the end of the game to win a game, guys get pissed. And not that pissed at the person. They're pissed at, like, what transpired in the situation. Because everybody makes mistakes.
See, for me, what I did, I would spend the whole offseason training with the team.
Yeah.
I would do the whole offseason because that way, if something went wrong, which I had a missed kick that cost us in Green Bay, nobody ever pointed fingers because they know it's not because of lack of work.
Yeah.
You know, but now if you're the kicker that kicks and goes home to play video games or goes plays golf,
yeah,
then that could be a little different where they could look at you like, stay out and kick a little more instead of golfing. Mm-hmm. But if you're just there with your team and working, at the end of the day, everybody's human. Everybody's going to miss.
Yeah.
So for me, that was my way of saying, look, I love being with this team and I'm doing my best, but sometimes it doesn't work out.
Yeah. If you knew how many times I heard your name in the press box before Ryan Suckup got here, every game, where's Martin? Call Martin. Martin's down the street. Get Martin up here.
Well,
still at your
when you were hearing that, I was getting the text. So I stopped getting the text when we signed Suckup. So yeah, so it was good. That's a good thing. At that time, my answer was like, I wish, but I only have one kick left. Then my leg would fall off. But
were you superstitious? Did you have like certain things you did or didn't do game day?
So there was like, I would polish my cleats because mine were like genuine leather cleats. So I would polish them on Friday. So my cleats had to look like spotless. You know, like, that's the old school Copas, you know, from back in the day, not the purple stuff they wear now, like the synthetic. Mine were like, so I had to polish my cleats, and I had basically 5 pairs. So I had 5 kicking, and then the plant foot was the longer stud, so I made sure they were all perfect. And I carried those with me. I never let the equipment guys touch them. So
I was going to say, nobody was ever allowed to touch it.
Really?
Oh, no, I said, that's my thing. Well, you know, Darren needed a pair of cleats as a backup. Everybody gave the equipment guy a backup pair just in case they ripped or whatever. And I said, man, I don't have any. So finally, I just gave him just a regular pair of cleats. I said, just put those in my bin. Don't worry about it. I have my five pair of gum in every game. Yeah. So that was my thing. And then I had like a little prayer card that I did. I wore my chain, you know, with a cross. Everything was like, and then I crossed myself. I grew up Catholic, so 100 times before every kick, even like God cares about how this game's going to end. But yeah. So, but yeah, one thing started to work out. Well, one of the biggest thing was like my worst roommate, thanks to Mark. Because not worse because he's a bad guy, but he liked to stay up late, mm-hmm. talk to his girlfriend, bring girls, and offer me sloppy seconds, you know. And I'm trying to sleep, man. We got a game today because he was on the practice squad. Not practice squad, but he wasn't dressing.
Yeah, inactive. Yeah.
But that's the year I went to the Pro Bowl. So I was like, I don't want to mess with this. So I'll deal with it. Plus, I'm not going to call him out to the coaches.
Yeah.
So little things like that. Once I was on the roll, I was like, I'll deal with him. And so as athletes, I think we all have superstitions.
Yeah, routine is huge. There was a game we played Carolina my second year, and I'm blocking Julius Peppers, of all people. And we get there, and for whatever reason, our schedule gets messed up. I get to the game, and I have like 60 minutes to get ready. But I get to the game like 3 hours before, and I have a long process of tubbing, stretching, massage, chiropractor. And I didn't do my full process, and I didn't feel right up until like the second quarter. Like, my body was just kind of unresponsive. So it's one of those things where if you don't get into your routine, it's almost mental that when I do these things, I feel ready to play. And so you just kind of have to go through your routine and get it done.
Do you miss playing?
No, absolutely. I miss the locker room more than anything, just hanging out with the guys. The day-to-days, I mean, working out every day, I mean, that I didn't miss that. I didn't like the weight room as it is. Just the team, you know, being around the team, I think you'll miss it forever.
So coaching now, you're you know, working on people's future. When we come back, we're going to talk about something else that you're involved in, and that's saving some lives. And we're going to talk about that when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Reggie Bush, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for our 19th annual Tuxes and Tails. This black tie gala will be hosted at the Tampa Convention Center on October 8th from 5:30 p.m. till midnight and will feature adoptable pets, a silent auction, a cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, an after party with cigars and dancing along the Riverwalk, and much more. Tickets and sponsorship are still available at www.tuxestailstampa.com. Come show your support for homeless animals in Tampa Bay while you dine and dance all night.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Jorge Gamebred Masvidal, the baddest motherfucker and the fighter of the year, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
That's a good liner.
I don't think he was.
Well, he's just a little hungry because he just got off the the reality show with Mac.
Does Masvidal, you know, get that fight, or do you think it's definitely Usman?
Yeah, it's got
to
be.
It has to be Usman. Anything else, it's a farce. Like, you can't watch that fight, know that it's 1-1, and not give him his rematch. You can't do that.
You an MMA guy?
No, I've seen it. I know which one.
I've tried to get you out to a couple of them.
You call me the day before, man. Like I said, I got three kids that play like 17 sports. Did you want to come to MMA last week? Pretty much.
All right. I'll call you next week for last week.
All right. Next time they're in town.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay.
It's got to be this one. You can't do it any other way.
No, I agree. Yeah, hopefully we can get back and talk about it, but I want to talk about...
Were you involved with when Jimmy Hart was involved with MMA?
No.
At the Sundome? Oh, so I got invited to one, and he was wrestling.
Right.
So my wife's a huge wrestling fan. Okay. So we got front row seats. I'm thinking I'm taking her for, you know, a date to wrestling. We show up as MMA. Uh-huh. And we seen blood. Like, and we're walking. Like, we're right next to, like, the entry.
Uh-huh.
And the guy that won looked like he got hit by a train. So she's like, and she's not a big fan of that. But she's like, if we ever do MMA, I want to be in the back. I don't want to see the blood and the sweat. But, no, but it's cool.
So this was back in the day then?
Yeah, this was probably 15, 20 years ago. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
No, I did not know about that. But talk about your other involvement, your other company that you're involved with.
Yeah, so I started working with Lifeguard Imaging, where we do preventative scans for heart disease and cancer. And I got involved because I was a patient first. I heard an ad on the radio, and then my stomach wasn't feeling right. You know, with sports, I took Indocin almost a full year for my knee after a knee surgery.
I know about that.
And that puts a hole in your stomach pretty much. I've had a bad stomach ever since. And so I'm always concerned. And when I was having issues, I said, I heard the ad, let me scan. So I meet these guys on a trip to the Bucks. And now when I went and got my scan, they're like, you want to come work with us? And I kind of blew it off for a couple of weeks. And my wife's like, just go hear him out and see what's going on. So I've been in the office now for almost 6 months. And we're saving 1 to 3 lives a day with preventative scans.
Wow.
Nobody's doing that, you know. So we're 1 of 5 offices in the country that do that.
Wow.
So our patients come in symptom-free, like you did, Randy.
Mm-hmm.
And you come in and you get – we offer, like, a free heart scan, and we can offer all your listeners a free heart scan. And then when they come to us, they're going to meet with a patient advocate that's going to show them other scans, because we can do a full body where 90% of the cancers are – developed in the mid region.
Yeah.
But with the heart scan, I mean, we're saving so many lives because you don't have any symptoms, yeah. You know, and then the first symptom at times is a fatal heart attack.
Yeah.
So they found a heart in Randy Harris? Like, is that what you're saying?
I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
No.
Because like, we were convinced that he didn't have one.
I said we scanned him.
That's why they never sent the results.
Right.
Listen to this. My first week there, though, we have a radiology tech. She comes out, and this guy has his heart on the opposite side. Wow. There is such thing that your organs are reversed. It's like a 1%.
Right.
And I'm thinking, like, man, this is my first week.
Wow.
And she's like, I haven't seen this ever. Like, she's been scanning for 15 years, never seen it. So I'm thinking, like, this is crazy. Like, and so that was my first week. I see the guy with the heart on the wrong side.
Wow.
But the scary part is you have people that look in tremendous shape that have heart disease, and you have people that you look at them like, oh, they definitely have something, and have nothing. So you just never know until you look inside, and our scanner does that.
And the process is so easy. As you said, I've already gone to do it. You know, you lay there. It's an open MRI machine.
It's a CAT scan. So not MRI. So it's fast. Yeah, yeah. So the heart scan is 5 minutes, full body 7 minutes.
Wow.
And we see every organ in 3D. So the scanner can catch a shadow, a 2 millimeter shadow, which is like the tip of a pen.
Yeah.
In our legacy program, and that's what the patient advocates will talk to you about, you scan yearly. So let's say your first scan is important. That's your base. And then from there, if you scan yearly, let's say you're 2, 3, once that shadow starts, that's when you catch it early, and that's when you can treat it and survive it.
You guys take insurance or cash, or how does it?
That's a great question. No, there's no insurance because it's preventative medicine.
Gotcha.
And now if you go
makes
to
makes no sense, right?
Well, that's what we're doing, an information gathering that we're trying to get as many participants, and we're going to present that, the hope to show, look, we've saved these many lives with these scans. Preventative medicine and preventative scans should be covered, like mammograms. Mammograms were not covered, you know, 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's the highest detected and survived cancer. Because why? Women are getting mammograms yearly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that we hope to do that. So what we do is, like I said, we offer that free heart scan. And then from there we offer, because you can do an a la carte where you can get, you know, a lung, you can get abdomen separately. or you could do the full body, or you could do the legacy program, which is a 5-year program.
No, with the full body scan, will it detect any kind of CTE or any kind of like brain concussion or injury?
Well, we right now our scanner's from the neck to the pelvis.
Okay.
So we don't do the head yet. We're gonna do the carotid artery with the ultrasound. That's gonna be our next machine that we're gonna incorporate. But we hope to one day be able to do head to toes. We just don't have that machine right now.
How can people get involved? How do they get in contact? How do they get their free heart scan?
Well, the free heart scan, I mean, they can reach out to you if that's okay, Randy. Sure. They've got your contact. They can call me or find me on social media, Martin Gramatica 7 on Instagram. That's probably the best way, or Facebook. I've had people reach out to me there. If not, go to lifeguardimaging.com, which is and mention your show, the Randy Harris Show. You know, we'll get any listener that calls in and just says that they've heard it on your show or Knockout Radio.
And is that the same if anybody else has a job that they want to offer you, they just reach out to you that way?
That's right, exactly. No, I think I'm jobbed out. If I do one more, because when I agreed to the indoor soccer, my wife wanted to kill me. It's like, one more thing. So this is what we had to do. So now in our bedroom, I bought a life-size calendar. She wants to kill me because I literally put it on the whole wall. Because I got to see it. You know, when I leave the house, I glance at the day. Okay, I've got this. Or if I'm scheduling games or whatever, okay, I can't do it this game. And I can't do it on the phone because, you know, it's just not. The alerts are great on the phone because it'll tell you what you have that day.
Yeah.
But sometimes I already schedule something on the day that I already have stuff. So now I just look at the big old calendar and get my day going.
That's awesome. So this is my last statement. I'm going to jump off. I'm going to go make you a delicious gluten-free pizza.
Gluten-free pizza, man. I'm excited.
But from the life scan to preventing, you know, saving lives, to giving life back through your charity, the Kickball, I was honored to be a part of it a few years ago. And talk about that, about, you know, when the next event is, the house you build for the Wounded Warriors. I was there in person. I had no idea the magnitude of impact that you guys are making. And it was unbelievable to see firsthand. And so I thank you for that experience and that day. But let me know when the next one is.
No, I appreciate that. You know, being from Argentina, I thank our men and women of the military for the freedoms. Because the freedoms we have in this country, they're not even anywhere close to what my country has. So I always, you know, want to say thank you for that. And when we created the foundation, we were building homes for combat wounded veterans. It's really hard to build a full house now because of the way the economy is. So we've opened our mission to where we're doing a lot more remodels, you know, wheelchair ramps. But it has to be a combat wounded veteran. So our next kickball tournament, which is our biggest fundraiser, that's going to be November 19th at Radis Park, the same park that we've had it. We partner up with Hillsborough County, so they help us set everything up. I mean, they're amazing. So the first year, we, you know, you, like anything, you pay for everything, and then they loved the event so much, they made it one of their signature events where we can partner up, and I mean, we've been partners ever since. Hillsborough County has been amazing, so we're not moving from Ed Wright's Park, because it's perfect, because now we have four softball fields, but we create 8 kickball fields in the outfield out of that. And then the championship game we played on the clay, but the rest of it is played out on the outfield. Yeah, a lot of fun, a lot of people, great food. I mean, just if you sign up as a team, then you have your whole team that can play. But if not, you can come in free. It's free of charge to come in and hang out.
How serious are the games?
Unfortunately, too serious. You know, and we have a captain's meeting. Say, look, this is a charity. We're trying to raise money for veterans. We actually have Charlie Lemon, who's our first recipient of a home.
You brought him out to the show one time.
Yes, missing. I mean, he's lost both legs in Afghanistan. We have him talk to them. Say, look, you know, this is not, you know, the champion gets a little plastic trophy, which now we do a little bit better. It's a game ball. You know how we used to get game balls back in the day where it has like, so we create a first, second, third place game ball. But it's not that important, you know, but we've had people wanting to fight, cuss, yell. Anytime you have a little bit of alcohol in a game and competition, it's going to get crazy.
Yeah. How were the teams set up male, female wise?
So you had to have at least 3 females on the team, but so as many as you want, but it's 10 on the field. So it's like baseball's 9. We add one more on the field. So 10 outfielders.
And break it down to all 3, because I'm thinking about maybe us putting a team together. I know when we played co-ed softball, there had to be, I think it was 4 females on the team at all time, on the field at all times. Is that the case, playing?
Man, why are you asking me all these rules? I don't know the rules.
It's not your first year of doing it.
Come on, coach, you got to know the rules.
No, they can't bat out of line. you know, because a lot of times, you know, depending on, trust me, there's some girls that can kick the crap out of the ball.
For sure.
But there's some that just want to go out there just to fill in the spot. And so they can't put out of line. But other than that, if they're on the field, they have to be on the field.
Can I get the phone numbers to all your female soccer players? I just need them real quick.
Sorry, they're taken. We're gonna have a strikers kickball team. No, so they're taken.
Of course you are. All right, let's go hit our final break. Go make some pizza for the Grammatica family. And when we come back, we may talk a little bit about this weekend's UFC as well. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
Fireball.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Will Allen from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Kamaru Usman, a.k.a. the Nigerian Nightmare here, and you are listening to Knockout Radio.
Miami.
I will say this much, because that liner kind of just hit me a little bit. Yeah. You know, because I feel so bad for Kamaru. But like I said, we have spoken, and he's like, hey, I was winning the fight. You know, yeah. It's not like I got my butt kicked. I was winning the fight until that one incident. He was just Kamaru Usman.
I saw the kick.
Brutal. Yeah. Brutal. That's the thing that I love about MMA, is you literally can lose five rounds and 4 minutes and 47 seconds.
Like any sport.
Well, it's not like any sport. Like in football, if you're down 35 points in the fourth.
Well, yeah. But I'm saying if you're down by two, you could kick a field goal with the second left. You've been losing all game.
28-3.
Right.
There was just a trade. And it was like the 28th pick or the third pick in the 20, and it broke down to 28-3.
Actually, I don't know if I'm opening up any wounds, but Peyton Manning and the Bucks. The Bucks were up until late in the fourth.
That was the Monday night game, right?
Monday night game. I was part of the game.
I was there.
I had a 62-yard block at the end of the game, and I missed a 60-yarder by like a centimeter. You know when you don't catch it clean? It was going straight as an arrow, but I didn't catch it clean. So I was like, man, I don't think it's going to get there. And it like missed by centimeters. Yeah. But yeah, no, I remember that. Yeah. That was Dungy's return to Tampa.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so you never know.
I argue this all the time, and I hope I'm not asking a question you're going to get mad at, but you get mad at me on a regular basis. Dungy or Gruden? Whose team? We argue that all the time, 0-2.
Well, yeah, Dungy built the character and the integrity of the team, and Gruden put us over the top. We just needed a little bit more offense, and he did that for us. So you've got to give credit to both of them, because Dungy built the culture, and we weren't able to get through Philadelphia. And then Gruden comes in, sparks that offense, and we win the Super Bowl. So Gruden would not have won the Super Bowl without Dungy's team, and Dungy prepared us to win the Super Bowl. So it's a combination of both.
What political office are you running for next?
No, man, I love both of them. I mean, they
I know you do. I know. And you're
but
right.
But Dungy, as a coach, I always going to put Dungy as the man that molds everybody to be better people, better men. You know, that's like I was saying earlier. He wanted us to be great people in the community and do community stuff. I didn't know how to do charity work till I got to Tampa, because in college you don't have time. Right. And now, you know, we went from school to practice. So it was like a constant, you know, cycle that you just didn't have time. And when I got here, I said, well, you have to do these events, And that's how you learn how to give back.
Tony Dungy's first charity event as head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was my charity event. It was the Michael Bolton softball game at Al Lang Stadium. That was the very first thing he did.
I think that stuff goes so unnoticed, man, because you have some coaches, and like I've been in organizations where the coaches just kind of like football, business, and then just done with it. The coaches who take time to build a relationship with players, like you leave such a lasting impact, especially as a rookie or a young guy, and they can pour into you and be like, hey, it's important to go do this. Hey, how's your family doing? Hey, how's this doing? Just those couple minutes. Right. It means so much. Like, it means so much to guys. And it's sad when I see coaches kind of just turn that part off. And it's just because now I don't have the same. You can say what you want. Guys play harder for guys who they care about and they love.
Right.
It's subconscious. You know what I mean? Like, it's something you just can't control. And so it's like, it's cool when you hear that about coaches.
Well, that's what you guys used to say about Tony, is that, you know, you felt like you were letting your dad down.
Right.
You know, he was the father figure back then.
No, you felt so bad letting him down, because he trusted you as a man and gave you so much confidence. Like, there weren't that many rules. He didn't have a huge, but we knew what the rules were. Uh-huh. You didn't want to let him down.
All right, so let's bring it back to the beginning. Only about 10 minutes left. Let's talk about the Strikers again. When does it start? You know, when will you have a full team? I mean, you can't start till you have a full team.
No, we'll have a full team, but our tryout's going to be September 24th. We don't have the time or the place yet, but we know that Saturday will be the first tryout. Like I said, I'm already signing players that have played at the high level, played at college or semi-pro or pro. So those hopefully more men now, because they're still asleep. I know the women are more excited, and they've been reaching out. But we'll have a team, and the season's supposed to start mid-December. That's the ideal target. And the Yingling Center by at USF. So, yeah, no, we'll have a team. I already have an assistant coach that I coach at the youth level with. He played professional keeper and has, you know, all his license and stuff. So he's going to help me on the men's side. I'm looking for an assistant to help me on the women. We're all going to work together. I think we already have a keeper trainer that may step in and help with the keepers.
How difficult is it, or will it be, when you're putting the team together? Is it the talent of the player, or is it the position that you want to fill?
But that's a good question. I mean, we have we can roster 20 players, 12 dress, and only 5 field players and a keeper. So it's not like 11v11 where you may have some needs, because now if you attack, you also have to defend here. It's kind of like basketball. You know, or hockey, where you can't just say, I'm a forward, I'm going to sit up there and not do anything and just wait for the ball and try to score goals. You're going to have to come back and defend. So at the end of the day, these players will pretty much, every player will attack and defend. So the probably the best player for indoor soccer will be like the midfielders, because they do both. But you also need to have a solid defender there so they don't get through. So it'll be challenging, but it'll be fun.
With it being indoor, obviously much smaller, you know, than a regular soccer field, obviously. Will there be plays, or is it just literally go and score?
I mean, we'll work on stuff, but I've never been a big X's and O type of guy, especially in soccer, because once the ball rolls, you know, the ball, they could say you could set your figures nicely. As soon as the ball rolls, everybody goes where. But I like to have my players be creative. I don't like to micromanage what they do on the field. We'll show them, look, it's mainly protect the defense where you work on the most, how to defend or how to have a proper, you know, formation as far as defending. Attacking, yeah, attacking, just go. I mean, it's 5v5, so just be creative. You're going to take people one-on-one. The one thing that we're going to have a challenge with is using the wall as a teammate. Because this is not like, you know, futsal back in our countries. There's a line, so there's no wall. Here, there's a wall. So you can use the wall as a teammate. So we don't have an indoor facility with a wall to practice it. So we're going to try to figure out a way to be creative where we can do that, because that's an asset, you know, to know how to use the wall to go around a player. So that's, I think, where we're going to have a little bit of a disadvantage, but we'll figure it out.
Before I ask a couple Bucks questions, since we start in, you know, 10 days, World Cup thoughts?
I'm excited for Argentina. You know, Messi took that monkey off his back winning the Copa America. So, and the team is not obviously always depend on Messi, because he's the best in the world. But it used to be so obvious that just give the ball to Messi and let's watch, see what he can do. Now you have role players. And Messi has dropped back a little bit to be more of an assist guy, you know, not that goal scorer all the time. So I'm excited, man. They look good. Argentina looks good.
How about other teams like, I don't know, the U.S.?
U.S.? My fears, you know, you're in CONCACAF. We had a really good qualifiers. We've beaten Mexico the last three times, which is huge because that's our biggest opponent locally. But we are facing some tough competition. England's going to be a tough opponent, but there's a lot more kids playing in Europe, so they understand the level and they understand the pressure of playing international soccer. The big stage, that's
the biggest.
Right, you can't duplicate that in small leagues.
Yeah, you can't, man. It's I'm curious about your thoughts of, you know, Messi's talked about even going to the MLS now. A lot of, you know, older players, they want to come, you know, obviously get a big payday and come and play in MLS. Like, what are your thoughts on that happening? I think it's good for the sport. I think it's, since it started happening, I feel like Beckham was the first big one
yes.
to make that transition. I feel like it's kind of helping kids now see, like, when they see Zlatan come and play here and Nani and all those guys, it helps the guys around here be like, hey, like, these stars are coming here. I can go do this and I can go be like Pulisic and the rest of those guys that are having so much success now.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that's Messi's always said that he wanted his family to live in the United States yeah. and he's experienced it. So there's a pretty high possibility. The thing that we're seeing a lot younger yeah. superstars come because it used to be back in the day, like Valderrama came when he was pretty much done, yeah. but then he said, let me extend my career a couple more years, and he was still at a level above everybody else. Now, Higuain, who played on the national team for Argentina forever, he said, man, I thought I was going to be able to smoke a cigarette and just walk all over these guys, and yeah. it's not. You know, our league is very competitive. Why? Because we have good athletes.
Yeah.
So it may not be as technical as European leagues, but athletically, it's not easy because defenders, especially, are big, strong, and fast. So it's going to be tough for anybody to come to MLS and still perform at a high level, especially the older you get, because we have a very good competitive league. We already match, if not surpass, Mexico in club.
Yeah.
We have already beaten them the last three times on the national team stage, but not in club. The MLS clubs compete at the level of the Mexican league, and the Mexican league's been there forever.
How do you think the U.S. grows its fan base? Because that's a big deal. If you go to Brazil, you go to Argentina, it could be clubs you've never heard of, and you go there and those games are packed out, and it's an experience and it's a lot of fun. How does the U.S. bring that here to get fans to want to come in and enjoy the sport the way the players now do?
Right. I think it's generation, you know, because now you're seeing more kids back then that played now bringing their kids to the game.
Yeah.
Before, when I played, 99% of the parents had never played soccer.
Yeah.
So they were just there because their kids wanted to play soccer. So they didn't even take them to games. They didn't watch games on TV. Now my generation has kids, so we'll take them to the game.
Yeah.
We'll watch soccer. And I think what the MLS did a great job of building specific soccer-specific stadiums
yeah.
where if you go to Orlando City, you feel like a European game.
Yeah.
You walk in the streets, you know, you have the food and the chants and the fans. So the excitement is there because they're creating a soccer atmosphere, not going to Raymond James and putting, you know, 20,000 people where it looks like there's five.
Yeah, yeah,
now
yeah.
there's no atmosphere, you know.
Yeah, I went to one in Austin. My brother lives out there, and they have a pretty good team out there. It's exciting. The game was a lot of fun. I was surprised.
Like, go to an Orlando-Atlanta game.
Okay, I'll do that.
Orlando-Atlanta's ugly.
I went to an Atlanta game in Atlanta because my buddy was the assistant coach there, and that's when they don't open it full all the time. That was when they broke the record. I think it was like 87,000 fans. It was insane.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
They seal off the Atlanta fans in Orlando, and there's guards. It's kind of like Europe.
Yeah.
To keep, because the Atlanta fans are that bad.
Yeah.
And they think they are European fans, and they fight. And
that's
they
awesome,
the first game, they were ripping the chairs out because it was like the first game in that stadium. So they're taking chairs home. All right, I know we only have about 2 minutes left. NFL season kicks off next week. Both of you, give me your thoughts. What do you anticipate?
Well, we have number 12 back.
Yeah.
So that's all you got to say.
Yeah. When Tom Brady's playing, man, it's Super Bowl or bust. And he makes a team so much better. I remember everybody was talking about his hiatus, and he goes out there and dices everybody up in this first game back. Like, the dude's just, he's special. And he's gonna make the Bucs a tough opponent for anybody.
Obviously, a lot of problems with the O-line, being an O-lineman, you know, with
yeah.
Allie retired, Alex gone, Ryan. I guess they just said he's gone for the year.
Yeah. Tom Brady hasn't had a good O-line until he came to Tampa. If you want to just – no, he hasn't had a great offensive
right,
line
right.
as far as multiple Pro Bowlers.
Sure.
He makes guys good. He makes guys Pro Bowlers. And so I don't think it's going to be too big of an issue. I think he's going to find a way to make it work. I predict the Rams and the – and the Bucks are going to meet again in a championship game. I think those two teams are just like too good at quarterback and everywhere else at skill positions. And I think that's kind of how it's going to play out.
We didn't really talk about France this weekend. Your thoughts? UFC.
Oh, UFC? France.
Yeah, the fight's in France.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a little.
We're talking soccer all day. I'm like, yeah. France.
Well, we got a minute left. It's knockout radio. We need to throw a UFC something.
Yeah. Who got the fights? Is Tai Tuivasa?
Yeah.
And
Sion
and Ciryl Gane. Right. Excited for that one. Two up and coming competitors in the heavyweight division.
Whitaker.
Yeah, Robert Whitaker's fighting. I'm really excited for Tuivasa and Gane. I think the heavyweight division has been kind of stagnant a little bit, kind of waiting on John Jones to see what he does in Stipe. So I'm excited to see that fight.
What he does to Stipe? I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
So I think Tuivasa comes out with that one. I like it. I like what he's got.
Do you really?
Yeah, I think Tuivasa knocks him out.
Wow. All right. All right. It'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. Martin, thank you very much for stopping by.
No, appreciate the invite.
We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong for coming out.
Thank you.
We're going to send you a care package as well. I want to come out to the farm. I'd like to check it out.
Check it out.
You know what he would love? Ketonia. The keto stuff, because he does.
Yeah.
Gluten-free.
Yeah.
So my friend has a keto company called Ketonia, and we'll get your care package.
We'll send you some of that stuff as well. Some of that stuff
thank too. You. Appreciate that, because, Randy doesn't look out for anybody. Man.
I'm glad this show's over. All right. Want to thank everybody for tuning in. Catch us on the website, knockoutradio.com. We'll see everybody next week.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today. Get paid today. That's the Staff Zone.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.